Yes. You know, it's another fun, fantastic Friday. Okay, so this is another fun, fantastic Friday. Unlike normally when I drop these on Monday, but I'm Dre of the Aim High Podcast. This is hosted by the culturally diverse brand multimedia network, where you can catch the Susio Boys podcast, Susio Sports with Keys and Jermaine. You can also catch A Different Angle with Kyle and Rod. You can also catch Four Corners of Commentary and the Shogun Soccer Sit Down. And, of course, normally the Dre Lax podcast. I am Dre, and this time I'm joined by my wonderful friend, Anthony, of Love First. So, Anthony, go ahead and just tell people a little bit about what you got going on, who you are, and how your brand came to be.
Okay, well, my name is Anthony Ramsey, and I am co-owner of a brand called Love First. And I actually started with another brand first. It was a fitness apparel line called Jevity, but we just did, you know, workout clothing. And just seemed like such a smaller market, especially starting out when you're just hitting local gyms. So we kind of, during the pandemic, changed things over to a brand with a message. So we created Love First. And the whole basis behind Love First is to give back. So we created a nonprofit called Kicks for Kids. And 10% of all profits goes to buy shoes for kids.
I like that. So it's all about giving back. I love that.
Absolutely.
So how long have you guys been doing that?
This is going on 3 years now.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Have you guys reached out to any underserved communities or any companies about kind of partnering with y'all, big name companies, kind of on the Nike ASICS type level?
Not anybody in particular yet. We've, sorry about that. Thank you.
Yes.
And sorry.
It's soon and drive.
No problem. Thank you.
Sorry. At the same time. No, you're good. You're good. I'm switching.
Switching over to what now?
Hotspot instead of my Wi-Fi. I was switching to my hotspot instead of Wi-Fi, so it was getting a little spotty for that brief second.
Good call here.
It was not. You're okay.
All right.
Oh man. Yeah, no, you're good. Sometimes technology is not the greatest.
Yes, I agree.
When it came to like fitness, I'd say what got you into fitness?
Well, kind of coming here. Let me switch to. Okay.
Well, I've always been into fitness per se. Been an athlete. Grew up playing sports and. High school, it's my senior year actually, and I just got in the weight room. I wanted to get stronger for the basketball season, but we kind of ran into an issue with the basketball coach. He decided he didn't want any upperclassmen on his team.
That's weird.
He wanted to have everybody grow with him, so I decided just to stick with the weight room, and you know, I graduated high school 23 years ago. So, been at it ever since.
First off, you don't even look like you like graduated 20 years ago. A pretty young looking man. Now that's weird that he just didn't want upperclassmen on the team. I don't know. I've never been an exclusionary person. I've been coaching for 11 years, and I would never do that.
It was weird. We had a guy on our team who was supposed to go to he had a scholarship to play D1 ball, and he had to move in the middle of the school year to go closer to the university so he wouldn't lose the scholarship and play at a local high school in Ohio. It was wild.
Okay, Ohio. Is that where you're from? Ohio? Or are you from Colorado?
Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah.
What school did you go to?
I went to Hinckley High School.
Nancy, I don't even know where Hinckley is.
It's in Aurora.
Okay. Part of Aurora. Okay. See, I don't know why I was thinking like it was like one of the mountain schools. I still don't know all the Colorado very well, and I've lived here for 11 years now.
Well, you didn't go to high school here, right?
No, I was born here, but then me and my mom moved to like the DMV, and so I grew up like in Maryland and Virginia and stuff. So I like went to high school out there too. But like during the summer, I would come out here and I'd visit out here, stay with my grandparents for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. You go. You know, you end up being in fitness, so like mostly off the strength of one opportunity being taken away. What then makes you like kind of, I guess, where was the next step after that? Because obviously, you know, you graduate high school. So like, what was like kind of like the in-between between, you know, falling in love with the weight room and getting to where you are now?
So just like, so I have an uncle who was a pretty big guy. He was into the weights himself. And I just always wanted to look like him.
Okay.
He didn't know. I never even told him until I was an adult. But so that was my motivating factor to start with weights, even after high school. Then I got into bodybuilding, men's physique. So not the big, the more athletic looking guys.
Not the Kai Greens and all that.
not that big. So I just did that. And it's always the goal to, how should I say it? There's always something to strive for in the weight room. It's a never ending process. So I just like the process. I never look for the finished, result of anything in it. I just love the process. I love being in there. I love the way it makes me feel. And I got to do some sort of workout every day.
Okay. So you're pretty active then.
Yeah.
never a day where you're just chilling at home.
No, it's just constant. Today's like one of those rare days where I'm at home right now.
Okay.
And it's probably at least for another hour or two. I gotta get out of here and I gotta go work out and I gotta do some other things.
What's your kind of like your day-to-day like normally, I guess?
Well, what a lot of people don't know too is I have 6 adopted kids.
Okay.
And 4 of them have special needs.
Mm-hmm.
So they there's nursing here in my house daily for my kids. And I also get paid to take care of my kids at night. But right now they're in therapy. They're they have speech, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and they're working right now with an ABA therapist who helps them communicate better, in a sense. And so that's pretty much daily here. And with that, with also that, working on the clothing brand, we really started to get a little more momentum past Christmas, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. So things are picking up.
I'd imagine that is like the busy time for any kind of brand. Yeah. Is like the best right. time. What? So what? What is it like? What is it like being a parent? Like with those challenges? Like what keeps? I mean, like what makes it to where you are the best parent that you can possibly be? And I know everybody says, like, you know, they're not perfect. They're not the best. They're not the perfect parent, but they do the best job that they can. Like, what is it like for you, I guess?
It's always learning. Okay. And repetition. Being a parent takes repetition. And whether it's good behaviors or going over bad behaviors with I wouldn't call them bad behaviors, just
learning opportunities.
Huh?
Learning opportunities.
There we go. So just those are the big things that's and then it's just got to remind myself, you know, to keep calm. And usually most issues I have to deal with, at least for me with my kids, are never really that serious in terms of, their behaviors.
Okay.
So just being calm and repeating the same things over and over again.
Would you say that, you know, having like being a parent of special needs children and the patience that's required for that allows you to be more patient with other people in your day-to-day life?
Yes and no.
Okay.
You say you're like, I have the patience, but sometimes you look at people who are, you know, able-bodied and healthy individuals, and some who are supposed to be, you know, educated and whatnot. And you look, come on.
You're just like, my guy, come on. How are we this bad?
Like, come on. You live on your own. You get, let's figure this out. But at the same time, you do, you're like, okay, I'll have patience with people because this is how my life is.
I was talking to somebody the other day. I was like, the reason that incompetent people irritate me so much is because I feel like there are some people that weaponize their incompetence. Like,
absolutely. Like,
weaponized incompetence is so annoying because I'm like, no.
You're so right on that. I never put it that way, but yes, I've seen that.
Well, I coach high schoolers, and like, they know some, like, that not every high school kid does this, but there are some of them that be weaponizing their incompetence. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know good and well that I'm not going to react well to this. Why would you do this?
Yeah.
Like, I tell people all the time, I was like, you know, I'm prepared to be a parent because I coach high school kids, because you got to manage. I mean, and like, I don't just work with just like the C team guys. I work with the C team guys, the JV guys, the varsity guys. So there's at least 60 kids in the program that not only do I got to try to build a connection with, but also there's 60 different personalities. And there are so many different coaching styles, just like there's so many different parenting styles. And you have to figure out which style is going to work for which kid. And so it's a lot of trial and error. And but the thing that you can do that gives some uniformity is you let them know what you're like, what your hard liars are, what your hard outliers are. Like, for me, I don't care how good or bad of a player you are, you are going to get held accountable for your actions and your choices. You are going to, I can teach you how to play this sport all day, but I can't teach you how to be a good, decent person. And one thing I expect is you being a good, decent person, because if you are a person that has, if your character's good, anything else about you doesn't matter. And on the flip side, if your character's bad, anything good about you doesn't matter.
So right on all. Yeah, you hit the nail.
I told them yesterday, I was like, you can only hide who you are for so long.
Yeah, it's gonna come out.
Yeah, so that's why I'm gonna be a good parent when it comes time for it, because I just, you know, if you can deal with those kids, and like, you gotta have patience. You gotta have patience. Oh my God. Especially when it comes to these guys and their dang grades, man. Because they got, some of them got bad grades in classes that they shouldn't have bad grades in. And I've seen it all. Like, a couple of years back, this one kid, he had an F in English and a D in history, and then an F in like some other like elective. And I was just like, what? Talk to me about these grades, man. Like, what is happening? I was like, English, you speak it, right? Like, this, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I just ain't been doing the assignments. And I was like, what? What did you say to me?
You're on a team?
Yeah, I was trying my best. Like, every time, like, you know, I'm 29 now. I've been coaching since I was 18. And you learn patience over time, because I'm not gonna lie, when I was 18 and 19, I was a bit of a hot-headed coach. Like, somebody would say, like, something would go wrong, or somebody would say something, I'd be like, what do you mean? Like, what is that? But now I'm like,
just go, okay. Take first.
Yeah. So with you, what is, like, just like, much like I have like certain like non-starters for me, what are like your kind of like non-starter, so to speak, that you kind of like live by? Like, what's your kind of like mentality towards, you know, the challenges that life brings?
Well, I like to live a stress-free life. So I weigh things out as much as possible in terms of the seriousness of it. And for the most part, things that I encounter is like, first of all, I always look at things like, I'm not the only person going through this. So okay, it's not the end of the world in terms of just life in general, anything that can be going on. So I never let anything that's bothering me affect me where I, like, if you see me out, you're going to look at me and say, oh, he's not happy today. You probably won't ever know, because it's like, it's life. To me, life's going to, things will be thrown at you all the time. It's just how you deal with it. And I'm a guy that deals with one thing at a time. I don't like to deal with too many things at once. And like I said, nothing really should be stressing me out. Like, give you an example, my daughter, it's been a freshman year of high school. She's having a little bit of a tough time adjusting with the schoolwork and friends and all sorts of things. But she's not bad. She's not doing anything bad at school. She's getting a little trouble. And we have our talks. And she'll always say, you know, I thought you were going to be mad at me. I was like, I'm not going to be mad at you. We're going to talk about things and get through it. So, you know, same with you, with your, like your, when your athletes not turning in assignments, mm-hmm. the same thing. So, yeah.
And I guess, like, for me, one of the biggest things that I always try to tell them is that help comes to those that ask. And it's like, hey, if you need help with something, just ask me, or like ask your teachers. Like, Like I even tell them all the time, I'm like, dude, I haven't been out of school that long. And so I know that, like, if you go, I'm like, listen, you get to school 5 minutes early, you stay 5 to 10 minutes after, and you meet with the teacher you're struggling in, you come to them with the work showing that you've attempted it, they will help you. And I'm like, eventually, 2 weeks from now, when you have a assignment that's kind of giving you a trouble, or you just are missing like something of a good grade on a test, they'll help you out. they might give you the little bit of a curve in your grade. And I'm like, dude, and it's the same thing that I figured out in life. If you are at a job and you're like, hey, I'm not getting XYZ, please help me.
Yeah.
More than often, somebody's gonna be there to help you. And well, for me, and I don't know if this is something that you, like, you've experienced growing up or not, but for me, not just growing up, like, well, I grew up in a single parent household, but it was just me and my mom. And so, you know, you got to kind of figure out based on the men that are around you, like or in your day-to-day life, like kind of how to be a man, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And one thing at that point in time, because I was born in the 90s, and so mental health wasn't a big thing. And so you kind of figure out like how to kind of like get through stuff, but you're so used to getting through things solo. So I'd say for me, one of the hardest things that I had to learn was how to ask for help and like how to recognize like that I don't got to do things like solo, be team of me and all that. I'm not sure if that's something that you kind of like experienced growing up or not.
Same.
Yeah, it's that I was telling. So my wife is white, and so I always like kind of just give her a little bit of like tidbits for like just like what life was like growing up for me. And I'm just like, you know, growing up, I was like already as a man in society, you know, when it comes to your emotions, you get happy or you get fine. Everything else in between, no one cares about, no one's going to ask about. And I was like, and I told her, I was like, at that point in time, in like the time period when I was growing up, it was more of mental health wasn't not only not available, but like no one talked about it. So now you not only have no one that's going to listen to your feelings of being sad or being angry, but now you have to figure out how to not only compartmentalize, but how to balance that.
Yeah.
So with you having had similar experiences growing up, how did you kind of get to a point, or have you gotten to a point where, like, you know, you feel comfortable asking for help, or you don't feel like you got to be just man on an island, like it's Castaway?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good point. So like you said, even it started when I was a baby. My dad told me that I didn't want anybody to help, you know, me eat. You know, I couldn't get the food on my fork, but you try to feed me, I wasn't going to eat unless I did it myself. So I do remember, you know, adolescence, teenage years, just thinking, I got to figure this out on my own, in a sense, whatever I was dealing with. But I can't remember exactly when, but something just clicked in me. You know, I just studied different things, in a sense. I can't even really put it into words, but so I had a job, for instance, at Nordstrom. I was selling women's shoes. And, you know, at first I was like, man, I can't do this job forever because this is a means to no real end. Like, but I started studying the job and realizing that to make this whole thing work, you need a different, you know, positions in the building. And then it hit me, like, I could be, you know, become successful at whatever I want. But there's a process, and probably got to get help. You talk to the right people. And that's when it really hit me then that, you know, you're not the only one that has to go through things to become successful. You got to figure it out with, like I said, getting help with other people, mm-hmm. Asking the right questions, getting put in the right positions, knowing the right people. So I was about 26, 27 when that hit me. And okay. That's when things changed in life.
And it's like, if you want to get better, you kind of got to figure it out. If you want to get better, you got to get it together.
You got to talk to the people who know what's going on.
And because I feel like that's, there's a lot of things that contribute to the generational divide, but I feel like one of the biggest things that like is the generational divide is I feel like a lot of these kids are the participation trophy era kids.
Yeah.
They're the generation that got a certificate for doing everything, for doing anything, for just showing up and all that stuff. And so they're so used to getting rewarded for like the bare minimum that earning and accomplishing stuff is a foreign concept to them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I remember, and this is how I knew I wasn't at the right school at that time, but I gave some of the kids that I was coaching, and they were like kids that were going like, it was a mix of like freshmen, sophomores, a couple of juniors. And I told them, like, I was like, hey, hard truth. I do not care what your parents have told you. In life, there are winners, there are losers. Now, I'm not talking about in games, because in competition, you are going to win and you are going to lose. I'm talking to you guys about life. I'm like, you are only a loser in life when you let your circumstances keep you down and you do not work to progress. You will be a bona fide winner if you are continually working to not only better yourself, but the people around you. Hard truth for you guys, but you're not special. I don't care what your parents have told you. You are not special. And what I mean by that is not that you don't have value. It means that you are not the exception to the rule. You like, there are standards and there are things you have to follow. You are not like, no one is going to just hand you anything. So you need to put your best foot forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Parents, some of the parents ain't like that.
It's the real world. They needed to hear that.
They didn't like that I didn't tell their kid that they were going to be the next Tom Brady. I was just like, hey, man, listen. I was like, that doesn't mean that I don't like you. I'm just saying, like, you are not special. There's no way to say it. Like, you're not going to get a trophy for showing up. Like, that's not what this means. you can always tell, like, which... I feel like as like a coach, and even with my time as a trainer, you can always tell which kids grew up in that kind of household and are used to that kind of parenting versus which kids have been like kind of coddled.
Yeah.
Even like, yeah. Cause I don't know. The adults around me always worked hard, so hard work is no stranger to me.
Yeah. Same here. Same here.
Yeah. Would you say that, like, what would you say throughout your, like, your life, or even, like, as, like, once you got older, like, what would you say was, like, the hardest thing for you to learn for yourself? Like, what was the hardest lesson for you to kind of learn?
Hardest lesson to learn. Well, that's a good one. I feel like I've been learning lessons my entire life. I've had my parents. So, you know, my mom and dad were never, they never coddled. It was always do extra, do more. You do better. And, even aunts and uncles were like parents.
So I can remember playing freshman basketball, and my uncle was in town and saying, "Hey, you want to come to my game? I got a game today." My uncle said, "Hey, I'm coming. I'll come to the game only if you're playing." He said, "If you're not in, if you don't play the game, I'm not coming to your game." So things like that was all like, okay, understood. You're not coming to watch me sit on the bench. So it was never, nothing was ever easy in a sense. I think every lesson was always, hey, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. Get it done.
Would you say that like, well, I mean, obviously he told you, hey, I'm not coming to watch you play on the bench. Like, if you're going to play, I'll come. But other than that, no. So like, would you say that like that kind of made it for you to where like you were like, wow, so if I'm not playing, I need to earn some playing time. Like, I need to work harder.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And I mean, luckily for me at that time, I was definitely playing, but I understood when he said that. You know, I was what, 14 years old, and it was like, I completely understand why you said that, because if I were in your shoes, I wouldn't come if I were just watching a whole bunch of other kids play. But yeah, every lesson, like I said, every lesson has always been, yeah, it's always, you just got to get it done. No excuse.
Okay. Would you,
that's kind of how I am with my kids.
That's fair. So, you know, you've talked about how like close you were with your uncle, your family in general. Would you say like, you know, the time you got to spend with him kind of like greatly shaped like who you are as an adult?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
And all
of them a couple times a week.
Okay.
Well, pretty close to.
So you know, circling back to more like your goals for yourself, what's your I guess, like, is there an end goal, or and if so, what is it, or do you constantly have goals so there's not really an end goal with like not just like fitness but for you yourself?
Well, right now, after getting some momentum with the brand, we just did some cleats for a soccer team a couple nights ago.
Okay.
Seeing the smiles on kids' faces when you present them with shoes, because I'm a shoe guy. Like, I grew up loving shoes. I used to always want every shoe that came out, even though I knew I wasn't going to get them. So I am that guy today, buys all the tennis shoes. But so part of my mission, like, is to give kids that are like me that same feeling that I have, but actually make sure they get shoes. So my next goal right now is to, the start of the next school year, I want to give back 100 pair of shoes. For kids who are, who have less than a chance to, get nice things to go to school, back to school with. So some shoes, maybe get them some haircuts.
Okay.
And some gift cards, working with a few people to get this all taken care of, but gift cards to go shopping. And they can have some confidence going into the school year. So my goal is 100 kids. 100 kids this year.
Where are you guys at right now with that?
We are just getting started now. I'm in ready to launch some marketing so that the brand could sell more and we can get saving and getting back.
Yes. For anyone that does not know, if you are ever at the gym and you see Anthony, there he's like me. He got a pair of shoes for every outfit. If there's a color palette in his attire, he's got the shoes for it.
Absolutely. If you look good, work out good, and all those. You know it.
Nah, but he showed up to the gym, and now listen, I thought I have a lot of shoes like that, like match my stuff. I do, but I also like don't. I got probably like maybe like 12 shoes that are gonna be in a rotation because I tend to stick with similar color schemes. Nah, man, listen. I remember there was one day at the gym. There were two different times. There was one time where you were like in this kind of like teal colored outfit, and you had the teal colored shoes, and then the yellow ones. I was like, dang, he really do got shoes for days.
Yeah. Sometimes I find them in the closet and I forget that I had a few pair. I'm like, oh, I need to bring these.
That's me with hoodies. I got so many. Actually, I think I counted one time. I have, I think, probably like, I think it's like 36 hoodies.
Oh, see? Yeah, exactly.
38 now. 38. That's today. 38. Oh, yeah. And I got so many shorts.
See? I'm the same way, shorts. But it also started like right after high school. So I've been collecting shoes for over 20 years now.
They're going to call you the man of 1,000 shoes. That's what they're going to start calling you.
Literally.
What would you say? Well, so far in life for you, what would you say you are most proud of?
Most proud of just my kids. You know, I just love being with my kids. They're especially the younger ones when they're just so full of life, and the simple things are so great. And like my youngest one, he probably tells me he loves me 100 times a day, and always wants to hug and kiss and tells me how great I am. You know, my mind, I don't feel like I'm doing that great, but we talk all the time, and he knows I love him. So like, I guess trying to raise kids to be healthy and strong, and hopefully the ones that my kids that can live on their own one day to be successful. So I'm most proud of that.
Yeah, look, those are good things to be proud of. Those are really good things. If you like, you know, when it's all said and done, because you know, like we're very finite beings and everything has an end date for us, what would you say, like, when everything's all said and done, you want people to remember about you, or you want like your legacy to be like, what would you say that is?
That's a good one. You know, I was just, I'm pretty much a nice guy. I'm friends with so many people. And, you know, I don't think I know too many people or know that would say that could say a negative thing about me. I try to never really judge. So I've never come down on anybody too hard. So I think what I want is for people to be like, you know what, you go to funerals all the time and people say, oh, he was a great guy. He was this, he was, oh man, he was so fantastic. Like I really want that to really be the case. Like, no, seriously, he was a nice guy. He never had a negative thing to say about me or anybody else. I don't gossip. I don't talk about people. I really want people to say, no, he's a genuinely nice guy. And that's pretty much it.
You saying that reminded me of like how it was with my, like, so my grandfather, he died, Doof. I think it was like, yeah, it was like September 5th of last year is when he passed. That man, if I didn't have my wife with me, I would have had to check myself into like a 3-day stay and on a little grippy sock vacation for sure, because that really just shattered my whole world. Because with my dad not being present in my life, that was mm-hmm. the closest thing, like a father that I had. And that is, and like at his like funeral, whenever we did like on like in the comment section of like the post that like we made when it was like when we were announcing his passing, and even when like at like any of the different like services we had for him, that's all people like had to say was just because he was a doctor. And okay. you know, he had former patients and colleagues just talking about like how big his personality was, how kind he was, how nice he was, how much he helped them, and you know, and he did a lot of like remarkable things, and he never really like bragged about himself. Like he wrote a book about his time being a missionary in Ethiopia. He worked for Kaiser for 25 years. He got all kinds of accolades from them, and he and my grandmother started up this inner city ministry where they go to barbershops in like the Denver area or in like the Montbello area, and they set up there and they just do blood pressures for people. They would do the same thing at like the Black Arts Festival that happens every Juneteenth weekend, and he just did all that. He did a lot of stuff and never expected any kind of recognition for it and all that stuff. Like he was real humble, but he also taught a lot of great lessons. Like there was one weekend I didn't want to volunteer with like our church volunteer group. I was a little kid, because you know, you're 8 years old, it's a Saturday night, you just want to go to the roller skating rink with your friends, you don't want to go volunteer in the inner city. Right. And he heard me say that I didn't want to go, and he was like, no, we're gonna go. And I was like, what, why do I have to go? And I remember him saying, we help people when we can, because we can. And I've always carried that with me, that, you know, just like anytime I can help somebody, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to help them because I can. And so like, it's that kind of lesson that he passed on to me. And I like to try to pass that on to like the people I interact with or like the kids that I coach, just because like, if we don't pass on the lessons that someone gave to us, then they die with us.
And I could tell you, first time I met you, you were, that was you too. You were, you know, it's the brand. You said, I'll support, I'll buy one.
That's me, man.
Immediately.
Because I saw it and man, I saw like for those of y'all that haven't checked it out, first off, you'll see in the thumbnail the picture that I have, but also like that it's two very simple words, but they're also like instructionary. So it says love first, but it's also like instructionary. And you kind of think about the moments when you're angry, the times when you're frustrated, and how most times when something is difficult or upsetting, your first emotional instinct is to either be angry or to get down on yourself or to react poorly. And if you think about it, if you choose to have a loving reaction or to love first, you'll be surprised at how much more likely you'll reach a better solution for your situation. Yeah. And yes. I saw that and I was like,
yes,
I like that. And then I went over and talked to you and you told me a bit about it. And I was like, I like what it's about. I like this. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want whatever gets the more eyes on the brand and gets the message out, because I think it's something that more people could benefit from hearing and understanding.
Sorry, I lost you there for a second. What did you say there?
No, you're good. I was saying I like the brand and what it's about, and I think it's something that more people could benefit from hearing and understanding. So I'm super excited to when I get to drop this episode, because it's gonna be so fun. It's gonna be great, and I hope it gets more more people to like notice and pay attention.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah, just,
you know, like life is it's I remember something else my grandfather said. I don't know where he heard it, but I remember it. It's not the years in your life that matter, it's the life in your years.
I like that.
I never really got it, because I mean, he told me as a kid, and when you get reflectionary, sometimes you think back to things that you had, and I remember him saying that, and I thought that for him, because I mean, he passed when he was like 74, which by all accounts is still pretty, it's still pretty young, but it's still a full life. He lived a very full life, like, and right. So, but I just remember he just did all these remarkable things, and he never expected anything for it. He was just super humble about it, and he just always looked at it as, hey, I'm doing this because I have the opportunity. Yeah. And we're gonna change someone's life for it. And so, you know, that's the kind of person I want to be. I just want to change as many lives as possible. When everything's all said and done, I just want everybody that I've impacted to have also gone on to impact somebody else. I want to be the little drop that causes the ripple effect. That's what I want.
I like it. Yes.
Yeah. Same. So where can people go to kind of support your brand? Like what, like, is there a website? What's the social media pages? Is there like a Facebook, any kind of those social medias and stuff?
Well, you can definitely go to Instagram, messaging me directly at Anthony Ramsey on Facebook or Instagram works. But also we have an Instagram Love First page. And I'm going to show my age a little bit, but I know there's older people than me on TikTok, but I'm trying to get on. It's been a rough process for me to get started, but I'm going to do it. And yeah, that's where you can find all the information usually with me or okay. through our Shopify.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. This was such a super, super fun conversation. I had an absolute blast. The YouTube channel that our network has, we're a little behind on the video episodes that we upload, but the audio for this is gonna drop on time, but we're a little behind on the YouTube we have one guy that does. Yeah, we have one guy that does all of our media uploads. Shout out to Aaron. Aaron kills this. He does a great job. Yeah, we have one guy that does this, so he's working hard. He also that's who I plan on connecting you with, because Aaron does he does custom like jerseys and stuff. So I was gonna get him your social media contact. He's working right now, so he couldn't be here, but I'll send you a couple of pictures and stuff of what he's done, because I would love for him to get to do a one-of-one for your brand, because, and if he does it, it's gonna look amazing, because he just does, man, that man artsy. I don't know how he does it, but he's artsy. He just sent like a picture of this like MF Doom piece that he did, and I was like, wow, this is, yeah, he's next level.
I like, you know, creative people.
Yeah, I love it. I love the creator. Shout out to the creators. Y'all are keeping society moving. Yeah,
definitely. Creators helping me all the time.
Every time. Yo, thank you so much for being a part of this episode. Guys, I'm Dre. This has been the Aim High Podcast, where you can also continue to support the other podcasts on the CDB Multimedia Network. So that is the Aim High Podcast, the Dre Lax Podcast, Susio Boys, Susio Sports with Keys and Jermaine, Shogun Soccer Sit Down with Ahun the Shogun, Four Corners of Commentary, A Different Angle with Kyle and Rod. And I believe we are adding, we just partnered with eSports, an eSports gaming company. So we've got that coming up as well. Shout out to you guys. You guys have a good rest of your day.